My name is Phyllis Burnett, and I'm a public health advisor assigned to Baltimore City Health Department, and I'm doing this instead of Michelle today. What we want to talk to you about is screening hotspots in Baltimore for syphilis and HIV, Ashley. Some background: in 1997, when syphilis elimination was getting kicked off, Baltimore City led the nation rates of primary and secondary syphilis. We instituted a lot of intervention methods that were called for in the Syphilis Elimination Plan, had a steady decline in syphilis from 1998 to 2002. And then in 2003, it started slipping back up on us. In 2004, we had a dramatic increase. We realized that we needed to do something in a hurry, that our conventional methods weren't working. So the challenges we faced at that time was to assure that we were getting the right data collected, analyzing it in a timely and meaningful manner. We wanted to apply this analysis to develop improved interventions over what we were doing. We needed to locate resources. Of course, this is always an issue. We needed staff, money, supplies, vehicles, et cetera, to direct new or improved intervention initiatives, and nobody was giving us any more money. We also needed very much to achieve cooperation within the community and participation from our community partners that we'd already established during syphilis elimination. We in Baltimore use STDMIS as our data collection method for all our disease intervention activities. We had some deficiencies at that time in STDMIS in that we were not collecting enough meaningful risk data, and we were not collecting enough data related to the geographical location of disease. We were actually collecting that information on hard copies of interview records, but they weren't getting entered into any kind of a data management system, which meant that all our analysis had to be based on what we looked at by hand. We knew we needed to do something different. What we did was we revised the interview record that we were using to include more risk data, more appropriate risk data. We were using the old interview record that asked whether or not you were a hemophiliac and that kind of thing. And we wanted to better collect what we felt was really the risk data at that time. We had to use local use fields to be able to collect all the data that we wanted to. We adjusted STDMIS to include those local use tables, and that by doing that, we were able to enter all of the interview data into the management information system, which meant that we had like a fail-safe there that, in addition to what our first-liners were reviewing in the clinics, we could look at from the management staff and also do a second analysis. We were able to do things on a very quick basis. We could, during the outbreak, we were looking at cases daily, and that allowed us to adjust our resources appropriately to what was happening at the time rather than maybe what was happening 3 months prior, which is what we intended to do before. We developed an action plan at that time. We realized from our data analysis that we had a significant portion of our early syphilis occurring basically in three groups: commercial sex workers, people who utilize commercial sex workers, and as everywhere else in the country, among the MSMs. We also identified that there was a strong connection between the abuse or abuse of substances, and primarily the substances we were hearing about were alcohol, cocaine, and heroin. We didn't divide crack out from cocaine. We're just now reaching the point that we're going to start doing that in the next couple of months. We initiated an active outreach program. We focused on the areas that we identified, the CSWs, their stroll areas, and areas where infected people frequented was implemented. We started out with a full daytime outreach team. It consisted of a supervisor, three outreach workers, and a driver who we also trained to be an outreach worker. We supplemented this with weekend and evening outreach teams composing of people that we already had working in the STD program, primarily DIS, outreach workers, phlebotomists, and actually even some of our support staff got involved at that point in time. We also added some part-time contractual people that were community members to help us with this effort. We tried using volunteers initially. The volunteers didn't really work out. We couldn't depend on them to be there. We found that we just did very much better if we had paid staff doing it. We were able to obtain two vehicles to use. One is a retrofitted RV that had been funded through a demonstration project by CDC. Its funding had ended, and so we got the vehicle. Unfortunately, the vehicle we got was 6 years old at that time, and so it's been a challenge to keep it up and running. We also bought a white cargo van. We felt like we needed a vehicle that we could go into neighborhoods with a little more discreet approach than the big van with Stop STD and HIV written all over it. We found that we had some training needs with our staff. We had some training geared at active outreach as opposed to just pulling the van up and waiting for people to come to get tested. We really stressed that we needed to get outside the van and go out into the community and recruit the folks. So we did training with both our staff and also with community-based organizations that were assisting us. We made sure the vehicles were stocked with everything that we needed to do. Blood supplies, condoms, literature, incentives, and referral information for other services, because we found that a lot of our clients had substance abuse problems. Some of our clients were pregnant, needed to be referred into prenatal services. So we were real careful that we got all that information to give to the clients, but at the same time recognized that our primary goal was to screen them for STDs. We found out pretty quickly that we had a problem with data collection on our intakes and of these screening people. We were using about 5 or 6 different forms. It took a long time to fill those forms out, especially the dreaded HIV bubble form that I'm sure some of you folks have had some familiar with. So what we did was we also didn't have an automated data collection system for our intake forms. So again, we turned to STDMIS. We weren't using a table in STDMIS for the clinic visits, so we adapted that, used that as our outreach database. We added local tables to it in order to get all the data that we needed from the intake forms. And we were able to get enough information into STDMIS that we were able to download data and report what we need to report to the State AIDS Administration for our HIV money electronically, as opposed to sending in the bubble forms or some other kind of form. Getting this comprehensive form was just, it really, really, really worked real well for us. We went from spending 20 to 40 minutes with each client filling forms out and that kind of thing to getting it under 5 minutes, which allowed us to get more people tested, but it also allowed the clients to get on with what they were doing. Most of the time when we were out there doing outreach, they really didn't want to spend 30 or 40 minutes talking to us. They wanted, if they were going to get tested, they wanted to be tested and be gone. We also talked with our community partners about what we were doing. We had syphilis elimination contracts out with a number of these people, and we got those folks involved in doing what we were. The partners were encouraged to participate in it. We really started putting more stress on them as far as actually testing rather than just doing the education. We identified a staff member that would liaison with them, be able to tell them what we were finding out as far as where disease was occurring in the community, so that they could also steer their outreach activities toward those communities at risk. We provided them with training, just as we had our staff. We also provided them with the intake forms that we were using, and they really liked that a lot because it also took the need away from them to be filling out the bubble forms, and we were able to be able to transmit to the AIDS Administration again all the data that they needed to continue funding us. We realized that we needed to prioritize our outreach. Yes, okay. We needed to prioritize our outreach. We did so by a hierarchy of where we would send people depending on what the situation was. The first area we would go to would be from the information we obtained from original interviews on syphilis patients. Then after that, we would use the cluster interview where we talked to the people that were related to the syphilis case but not infected. We used the interviews that we did on HIV-positive people. Then we went to known areas of prostitute and drug use, areas where we had had high numbers of disease identified in the past, high-risk populations. The last thing we went to was health fairs because they were low-productive sites. This is a chart that demonstrates how much testing we've actually done. If you'll notice in 2006, which was our peak, we tested over 17,000 people for syphilis or HIV. Most people got tested for syphilis. The HIV numbers were a little less because we didn't retest people who we knew were already positive. Our HIV findings were pretty significant. We are around 6%, or we've got a positivity rate of around 6%, which is high. Our ASTD clinic positivity rate is under 2%. We were also able to find quite a bit of syphilis, which is one of those two-edged swords. You were happy when you found it, even though you didn't want anybody to have syphilis, because it meant we were reaching the right populations. We also looked at risk categories. We were, again, focusing on the MSMs, the CSWs, and the CSW clients. We were able to get a number of those folks tested, and the number of cases of HIV and syphilis we identified from these clients were obviously pretty high. We also looked at risk categories, and the significant thing about that, with Baltimore, you see high numbers of heroin and IV drug use. Baltimore does have a huge problem with heroin use, probably the greatest in the nation, and it was a major factor, cofactor with the commercial sex worker. We decided that we were really successful with this. We decided to continue to do it even when our rates went down. It's a good thing because our rates have gone up and down. Right now we've got a little increase. We went out to a neighborhood in February, tested 31 people and found 3 early syphilis cases. So our outreach efforts continue to be very successful. We learned a lot from it. One thing is to make sure you've got everything that you need to do testing when you go out there, to be organized. You need to set your goals high and believe that you can reach them. And we also learned that the difference between a good outreach team and a great one is the belief in the project and the passion it has for it. Now our outreach people are real competitive with each other. They're all determined to get more clients screened than the other folks. And they have fun with what they're doing, which is a good thing. In conclusion, outreach screening geared toward high-risk populations will have a positive impact on disease prevention. And the most effective screening strategy must be sensitive to the needs of the community and be a cooperative effort between the health department and the community partners. I think at this point in Baltimore is that the communities at risk really see the health department as a CBO, as well as the other community-based organizations. I'd like to thank our community-based partners for the help that they've got. This is a list of the ones that we're currently working with. They're great people, and they've really helped us out a lot. I'd also like to, there's some people here today that have been a part of it. I'd like to recognize them as well. I think we've got, if you're from Baltimore, raise your hand and wave. So, thank you.